Hello, and welcome to another episode of Connecting the Dots. I'm Jake Lancaster, an internal medicine physician and the Chief Medical Information Officer for the Baptist System. And today I'm flying solo, but I am here with a veteran of our other podcast, the Right Care at Baptist podcast, Amanda Comer, our System Director for Advanced Fracture Providers. And today we're going to be talking about a framework for integrating advanced practice executives into a healthcare system. Amanda, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Lancaster. Great to be here.
So can you tell us, for those that are not regular listeners of the Right Care Baptist podcast, can you tell us just a little bit of your background and describe what you do for Baptist?
Absolutely. So if you're not a regular listener of Right Care at Baptist, you should be. But I am Amanda Comer. I'm a nurse practitioner, and I serve as the system director for advanced practice providers for the Baptist system.
And how did you get into that role? Tell us, just walk us through just a little of your background, what you did previously.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a board certified nurse practitioner in family, acute care, and emergency medicine. I worked with a pulmonologist for a while, and then went back to emergency medicine. And there I saw the need for, I saw the variation in training and hiring for emergency nurse practitioners or APPs within the emergency setting, and actually developed a emergency nurse practitioner fellowship or residency program for APPs, got interested in leadership, and then ventured into this role.
Well, we've been very lucky to have you. You've done a lot of amazing things at Baptist, but today we're going to talk about this framework that you put together on how to, I guess, standardize a little bit more the training and the integration of APPs. So can you walk us through that framework a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So the paper, A Framework for Strategic Development and Integration of the Advanced Practice Executive, was really a joint effort from system advanced practice executives or leaders across the nation, and then also our Vizient partners. So through Vizient, we have a network, just like the CMO network or CNO network, that brings together system APP leaders across the nation. So in this discussion, we recognize there's a gap in the literature around APP leadership. So this paper, it was an effort to provide information to organizations about the value of APP leadership, and also the recognition of how critical APPs continue to be in healthcare delivery. So you ask about how I got into this role. So really the concept of APP leadership is fairly new. Often APPs are somewhat tucked away into other leadership structures across the organization. Is it medicine? Is it nursing? You know, where do APPs really fit? So for example, the role of the system director for APPs at Baptist was only created 4 short years ago. So not too long ago. And I really felt led to this position because of that desire to have a voice, as an APP. And I'll tell you, I'm honored and honestly humbled every day to wake up and be that voice, to represent all the APPs across the Baptist system. So, you know, we know that healthcare organizations continue to face challenges, you know, to meet the demands of providing affordable healthcare. And we also recognize how critical APPs continue to be in that healthcare delivery.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that is interesting about in the paper jumped out at me at the beginning was that nurse practitioners and physician assistants are the fastest growing healthcare workforce within the United States. And as you were saying, there's kind of some inconsistency in maybe their training and how they're utilized, and then certainly about how they're utilized as leaders. Tell us just a little bit about some of those inconsistencies that you've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now at Baptist, we currently have over 1,100 APPs that touch our patients. And that's a lot. You know, this includes about 400 that are employed within Baptist in some capacity, and the others are contracted or private practice. And like you said, NPs, PAs, fastest growing workforce in healthcare right now. And let me back up a little bit. So APP is a term that we use at Baptist that really encompasses several different disciplines within this APP umbrella. So nurse practitioners, physician assistants, certified registered nurse anesthetist, clinical nurse specialist, and then also certified nurse midwives. I'll mention this. So we've heard the term mid-level or physician extender. However, I'm not really certain that these terms fully represent the value. So the term APP recognizes these clinicians, I guess, as providers with the ability to evaluate, to manage, to diagnose and treat, and also independently bill for our services. Now, I think it's important to recognize the professions within this umbrella. So PAs are unique from APRNs, and and even within APRNs, CRNAs are different from nurse practitioners. However, this collective term has really worked well for us, and I'm proud that we use this term at Baptist for us to come together as APPs to really tackle challenges that may face us all. Some of the inconsistencies, I guess, that you mentioned, some of the barriers include like role clarity, variation in education, training, transition to practice, and also ineffective team-based care models. This is coupled with, differences in scope of practice within our states. So it looks different in Arkansas than it does in Tennessee, than it does in Mississippi. You know, even in our own service area, it looks different throughout the state.
Talk to us a little bit about that. How different is it? Are there real, major things that you can't do in one state versus another, or is it just variations on the same?
Variations on the same. I guess the one thing to note is Arkansas recently passed full practice authority that would grant a nurse practitioner that has completed so many hours with a physician to independently practice without that collaborative agreement. Right now in Tennessee and Mississippi, that collaborative agreement with the physician is still, the formal collaboration is still needed. I think we collaborate every day, regardless of that formal, even in Arkansas, where they have the ability to have full practice authority. That doesn't make the collaboration with the physician go away. That's still there. I think a big part of my job is to be the voice and to identify ways APPs can be appropriately leveraged to be part of that healthcare solution, whether it be patient access, throughput, patient satisfaction, or quality. And as APPs and healthcare continues to evolve, there is a lack of that role clarity. So everybody may not know, what APPs can do and what's within a discipline scope of practice. And I even see this within nursing, where I may have a nursing colleague that say, is that within a scope of practice for a nurse practitioner? So it's important to continue to share that. A recent initiative that I'm currently working on that you've also been very much engaged in is to provide that role clarity to ensure we have an environment within Baptist that promotes top of license practice for all professions, and then really laying out that roles and responsibilities for each team member.
Yeah, so I think what you just touched on is really important, and in this framework for the advanced practice executive, I think is so important, because as you were saying, as a physician, maybe I don't know what an advanced practice provider's scope can be or should be, because I'm not familiar with their training, and the training may be different. And then, so it'd be very tough for me as a physician to manage and provide that framework that you just discussed. Same on the nursing side. The physician executive and the nursing executive are two very, well-recognized executives within healthcare, but neither one would be able to really understand the scope and the framework for a nurse practitioner or a PA to the fullest extent, as opposed to an advanced practice executive, hence the need for that formal role. And you know, what you're doing is something that nobody else in the organization could do because nobody else has that understanding. So I do think it's incredibly valuable. And then you started to mention us going through and evaluating that framework as a system. Tell us about what you're doing and how we're going about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked about the identifying the role clarity. So right now we're currently going through step by step every process that happens within the ambulatory setting. So in an ideal future state, where does that responsibility lie? And who's, and is it within that individual scope of practice? For example, you know, completing records for DME or asking for additional patient records or obtaining that history and sending in the patient medication, really going through every detail within the ambulatory care setting on the roles and the responsibilities of each individual. So within the past 4 years, I've been given the opportunity to be part of many accomplishments for APPs. One particular example that I'd like to provide is our year-over-year uptick in APP alignment and engagement. And I would love to take full credit for that. However, I don't think it
is. You get full credit. I think it is you.
No, I don't think I had anything to do with it. But I do think it is just having that voice and then also that recognition of the APP at that leadership level. So that's exciting to see. Another thing is the development of our system APP council. So this structure really brings together APPs across our system to collectively tackle issues. One example this team has worked on is the revision of inpatient delineation of practice standards to really reflect the evolution of APPs and again to support that top of license practice. In addition to that system level council, we also have entity level councils within our different facilities that great, incredible work coming from these groups that are specific to their facilities. For example, at NEA Baptist, this council developed an onboarding process and a mentoring program. This is in addition to our HR orientation process, but to support APPs through their professional development and their journey, support through well-being, just really great work.
Talk to me a little bit more about that mentoring program. So how important is it for a new nurse practitioner in the system to get guidance from, I guess, somebody else that has been in that role before? Like, you know, as a new physician at in practice, certainly, you know, it's great to have another colleague, but there's a certain amount of things that we've done before that we still know how to do. But, you know, I agree. I mean, even for a physician, the mentoring is very important to help you understand where you are, what you can do and where to go if you need help. But is there anything different about a new nurse practitioner that kind of necessitates more of that mentoring effort?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great question. I think there's value in mentoring, like you said, but specifically for nurse practitioners, and I'll talk about APRNs here, and I think it's relevant for PAs, is, you know, for many years I worked as a nurse before I became a nurse practitioner, and that transition in roles was very difficult, just to change from a bedside nurse to a provider. It was hard to really understand how to get there. And so having that additional support and phone a friend has been very beneficial. One thing that we plan to measure and are measuring is, you know, our turnover and then also our satisfaction within that group. So we know that just like nursing staff, APPs tend to leave within that 12 to 18 month period, just because that transition can be tough. And if we support them through that, hopefully we'll see an increase in in satisfaction and turnover. So we'll see an increase or a decrease in turnover, you know, a positive result in the turnovers.
And you've referenced the satisfaction and the alignment surveys that we do and that the positive trend we've seen over the last few years. What were some of the themes, I guess, you picked up on early on when you were viewing it as to why, I guess, APPs were less aligned in the beginning? And what are the things that we've had to work through?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question again. One thing that we heard over and over is I didn't feel like I have a voice, or I didn't have a voice in decision making in the way I practice or the way I provide care or how I'm involved in the organization. We've been very intentional to add APPs or have a representation from APPs to the different committees. For example, if there is a critical care committee, you know, that has physician and nursing representation, can we get APP representation on there? Just the same way with infection prevention or antibiotic stewardship, P&T, you know, pharmacy, and then you've helped us with the clinical content, or you know, working within our EHR, having involvement from the APPs as well, and that's made a huge difference. Huge difference. Another thing that we saw was the desire for APP specific education. And just that venue to come together collectively as APPs. But we've been able to start, we've had two annual conferences that are APP specific that allows a forum for APPs to be presenters. We also have physicians. We have physicians and APPs in attendance, but it's been a great collaborative event, which I think has been very successful. And the last thing I would say is recognition. You know, everybody, I think, interprets recognition differently, but we've tried to understand what recognition means to individuals and provide that more so. So recognition may be an award to you, and recognition to me may be having physician assistant in the EHR, you know, as opposed to only nurse practitioners. So we've made lots of efforts to recognize the value of APPs.
Very nice. Talk to us a little bit about what barriers you've seen as you've worked through this new framework and tried to standardize things across three different states. Have you run into any?
You know, barriers, of course we've had challenges, but I will tell you that it has the barriers have been broken down by communication, and I know if Skip was here, he would say, you know, everything starts with a conversation. And I think a lot of the barriers were just really misconceptions or lack of understanding, and having those conversations and really defining the role and providing clarity has really broken down barriers that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, that's very nice. Are there things that you've learned throughout the process or things that you would have done differently?
Oh, of course. things I've learned, again, I'll go back to conversation. You know, I think you and I started around the same time in our roles, but I think that it was very important to build that trust and relationship throughout the organization within the first few months before I did anything. You know, really, I just took the time to get to know and hear from the APPs. And if I had anything to, I guess, change, is to not get away from that. You know, we can easily get away from coming back to the front line and asking questions. And so I think that's one thing that's very important going forward.
Yeah, we used to do our rounds together, going to different hospitals and clinics, and hopefully we can continue that moving forward, because I always learn something new when I do that as well. With this new framework that we're building out, we're getting physicians, we're getting nurse practitioners, and other operational leaders trying to get on the same page about the roles and responsibilities, scope, et cetera. What do you see as the future outcome of all this work, you know, what is your goal for 2030 or further?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it's okay to recognize that there may be, I guess, tension within healthcare. However, I believe all professions within healthcare have the ultimate goal around patients. So high quality, affordable healthcare. And I think we all aim for that. I think that we'll be closer to that in 2030. And then I see a growth in APPs, continued growth in APPs and the value that they bring to healthcare organizations.
That's awesome. And back to, you know, where we started with APP executive or the APP leadership piece. Are there formal programs for developing APPs or how do you see that moving forward?
Formal programs for developing APPs. That's a good question. As far as leaders, you know, I think that there are executive leadership tracks that you can actually take in college. But there's one thing that I will say the development that we have in place that I'm excited about that we recently put into place within Baptist is an APP fellowship program. Right now, we're starting in neurocritical care, and we hope to expand it to other specialties, but really to provide that extra time needed to develop the confidence and competence of a new graduate within a specialty practice. For example, neurocritical care that you may get very, very little exposure to in an acute care program. And this gives you that extra time needed to ramp up to where we want to be.
Okay. And who runs those programs? Does that fall under, you know, when we're talking about a framework for the executive and how different groups report up, who is responsible for those programs? Does it fall under the medical leadership or nursing or what?
That's a great question. So I have involvement as, you know, the system APP leader, but then it falls onto the department or the specialty. And so we have involvement from, like you said, again, the physician, nursing, and operational leaders. So we have a medical director that's involved in the teaching and development of that group. We have other APPs that will help shepherd and foster the fellows, and then operational leaders that execute and make it all happen. So it does take the entire team.
Yeah. And then just to continue on that theme, as part of the framework for an executive, where do they live within the organization? Who does it report up to? Where should it report up to? You know, what would an ideal APP executive role look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So historically, the APPs have lived within, because there's predominantly, especially in our region, APRNs have lived within the nursing world. What we see with our organization is a joint report to nursing and medicine. What I would love to see in the future is that triad where you have nursing, advanced practice, and medicine or physicians.
And is that common throughout the country? Any innovative structures you've seen at other places?
Becoming more common, I will tell you, Stanford has an amazing APP structure, and they have a very, I guess, robust structure, leadership structure for their APPs that includes a chief advanced practice officer, similar to the CMO role, and then they also have, you know, department level managers and APP leads within specialties. One day, I know we'll get there.
Yeah. Well, this has all been very exciting. I know I've learned a ton. Is there any other, you know, future directions or any other thoughts you want to share with the audience regarding this new structure?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just go back to the conversation. So if there are questions or things that you would like to talk about as far as the APPs or to better understand, I'm here and would love to have more conversation.
Yeah, she's great to talk to. So, well, thank you. I'm excited about this work. I'm happy that I get to be a part of it too. And so thanks for including me. And thank you everybody for listening to another episode of Connecting the Dots. If you follow the link in the show notes, you can redeem this episode for CME credit. Thank you.